With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. Good Sunday morning to you, everybody. I hope you are enjoying fall. It's here. I don't care what temperature it is outside. It just feels right to me. So it's my favorite time of year. So I am charged up and ready to go. I'm Dean Sharp, the house whisperer, craftsman, builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. We're coming to you live from House Whisperer headquarters and, as always, having the maximum amount of fun permitted by California state law. Today on Home, we are going to do another all-calls show because I just have not spent enough time talking with you. So, whatever your issues with your home may be, whether you've got design questions or a construction concern or, DIY issues, I want you to give me a call and we will talk about it. The number to reach me at 833-2-ASK-DEAN is the number to call, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. The board is open. We are ready to take your calls. So call in, jump into the queue, and who knows? You and I might get to talk about whatever is going on with your house today. Also, we've got all sorts of good stuff going on social media, so make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or all of them. At Home with Dean is the same handle for them all, At Home with Dean. And don't miss another episode of the House Whisperer podcast, where you can listen anytime, day or night. It's your own personal home improvement reference library on the iHeartRadio app or iTunes or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. You know how that works, right? Every weekend we do two shows, and every weekend those shows are converted into podcast form and archived for you as a podcast so that you can go back and listen to them whenever you need to, whenever you want to, for as long as you want to. And yes, I apologize for that. No, it's all there. And, we're going on 4 years now. So we've got hundreds of episodes, hundreds of hours of inspiration and information for you that I know will help you with your home. So take advantage of the House Whisperer podcast. All right. It is Sunday, October 25th. Guess what? We're actually going to Yosemite today. We are. For just a few days. Don't worry, I'll be back. I'll be back in time for next weekend shows. But we were actually supposed to go at the end of last month, but the Creek Fire had Yosemite shut down, so we had to postpone. We pushed it off a month, which I think actually is going to work out to be better. The only problem is that we're doing it to celebrate my daughter-in-law's birthday, and so now we're past it. But you know what? It all works out. It's still going to be a great time, and the weather's a little cooler, and the air has cleared now, so I am totally jazzed. We're actually taking off after the show today. So the holidays are upon us, and it's a weird year, and like us, you might be deprived of a big gathering of family, and I know that sucks, and it's going to be different, but it doesn't have to be the worst. In fact, it doesn't have to be bad at all, just different. So here is where I remind you that even though you don't have control over everything around you, it's in your power to rewrite the script of your responses to it all, okay? This is not today's homily. That's coming later at the end of the show, as per usual. It's just me saying, hey, if life hands you lemons, don't settle for lemonade. Make a lemon farfalla with a light cream sauce. You know, do whatever you have to do. And remember, one of my favorite quotes from philosopher and Holocaust survivor, Viktor Frankl. He said, between every... What is that beeping? Let's get rid of that. Oh, it's me. I'm beeping. I'm sorry. Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl said, between every cause and every effect, there is a space. And in that space is the power to choose your response. And once you understand that power, you understand that it's neither the causes or the effects which change your life. It's your choices. So if there's not enough fall spirit around you, make some. Or do what we're doing and go get in the car and go find some. Our home is already filled with the sights and scents of fall. We hit that hard this year. And we've been planning on decorating for Christmas even earlier than ever. The tree may even be up by Thanksgiving Day, which for us is just unprecedented. All I'm saying is write your own story. Okay? Sound good? Good. Speaking of your own story, it's your calls all morning. Your story, your calls. Let's talk. The phone lines are open. To reach me, the number is 833-2-ASK-DEAN, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. Whether you've got a DIY question, a construction question about your home, a design question, or anything on that whole spectrum, give me a call. I would love to help. All right, let's, without any further ado, dive in. KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. That's me. And you know what we're doing? We are taking your calls, which I love. I love talking to you about whatever's going on with your home today, whether it's a DIY question, a construction issue, a design question. I love design questions. So anyway, the number to reach me, 833-2-ASK-DEAN, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. Give us a call. I would love to help. So why don't we just dive back in? All right, let's talk to Linda. Hey, Linda, welcome home.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hey.
Hello?
Welcome home.
Oh, thank you. I'm afraid you might not be able to help. We have 30-year-old ceramic tile, about 1,600 square feet of it, and we had extra to start with, and we've used all that out, and we've patched with some other stuff that was bigger, and we cut down to fit the size. And now there's only a few spots, but I really don't want to go through the mess. Is there anything that we can put... tile over it and not have to remove it?
Okay, so what's the problem you're trying to fix now, or are you just done with all your ceramic tile?
We've used all of our extras. Everything that we've looked at, we could maybe cut to fit, you know, and color match. It's a white tile, and there's 8,000 colors of white, and it's thicker than what we have. They don't meet the thickness anymore, and I don't want to have to move out of the house. We did the tiling before ourselves, and we're old now. Older.
And it just You're not old. Okay.
Well, I'd like to do it. I keep telling my husband I can, but we really can't. It's just, is there
okay.
Anything?
Well, you know, a good solution for folks who are tired of one floor, especially when it comes to a ceramic tile floor, is to do a floating floor on top of it. A floating floor would be like a laminate, but these days, you know, I don't think I've recommended a laminate in forever. How long has it been, Tina? It's been a long time. But a luxury vinyl plank floor that is interlocking will float right over that ceramic tile. They're relatively thin. Of course, it's going to raise your floor level a little bit, especially if you transition back into something else. But given all of that, we're only, you know, we're talking about 3/8 of an inch, if that, with some of these planks, which isn't a big raise, and it will float right over a, you know, a an existing floor. So and
this ceramic floor, it will. There's, I don't have to worry about taking anything up.
No, if the ceramic floor is holding, right? If it's not,
holding.
If it's not coming up and delaminating, then you just you roll a layer of sound foam down over it, and you can lay this floating floor right on top of it, and let it go. It's fine. It will work just fine, and you'll end up with a whole new floor without having to remove. Now, am I recommending that that's the best thing to always do? No, I mean, you know, I'm one for, you know, pulling out the old stuff and starting over, but I'm saying one of the advantages of a floating floor, it doesn't have to be adhered down to anything. It floats. It interlocks with itself, and it floats, and you hold it down at the walls with the wood trim right at the baseboard. And they're beautiful. They're durable. They are completely waterproof, and they will allow you to transform your house once again without moving out.
So I have to take up my baseboards in order to put those down.
No, you don't. You don't have to take up your baseboards. All you have to do is add what we call a little piece of quarter round in front of your baseboard.
Oh, okay. Bottom
to
of the
hold
baseboard.
Down the edge of the existing floor. So, yeah, you don't have. Again, would I like you to take up your baseboards? Yeah. But again, I understand.
Yeah.
You're kind of done with this now. So you want the next change with the minimum amount of disturbance. So, no, you just run this over to the edge, and you want to follow manufacturer's instructions. You can have somebody install it for you, of course. They're going to run the floor about 1/4 inch away from the edge of your baseboard. We need that because a floating floor expands and contracts a little bit. So it needs a little room to stretch and to contract under cold weather. And you're going to cover that edge with a piece of quarter round, so nobody's ever going to see the edge. You'll paint the quarter round with the baseboard so that it just looks like an extension of your baseboard, and you'll be done.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome, Linda. Good luck on that. I want to talk to Connie. Hey, Connie, welcome home.
Oh, hello. Yes. I wanted to find out what the practical use, and if it is practical to use solar-powered attic fans.
Okay, solar-powered attic fans. I like them. I think they're great. Attic fans, to be specific now, a lot of people get the two confused, the difference between an attic fan and a whole house fan. A whole house fan.
Attic fan, yeah.
Yeah, is drawing air out of the house. That requires a lot of juice, and not a lot. I mean, the whole reason you put in a whole house fan is to save energy costs from your air conditioner. But it does require a good amount of speed and electricity, and so solar is not going to get that done. But attic fans that are simply aerating the attic, drawing fresh air in through the lower attic vents and pushing the hot air out of the upper vents, an attic fan like that, solar is a really, really good option for it because you don't have to mess with wiring. Installation is a little bit easier. And it just so happens that the size of the fan itself as it sticks out on the roof is, generally speaking, just about the right size of a solar panel to run that fan when it needs to run. So I've had no complaints about them, and I don't have any reason to tell you not to do it. And it will generally ease the installation of an attic fan for you.
Okie dokie. More of your calls to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI. Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, at your service. You're listening to Home, where every week we help you better understand that place where you live. We got calls stacked up on the board. The number to reach me, 833-2-ASK-DEAN, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. And you know what? Without any further ado, let's dive back in. Hey, Lewis, welcome home.
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good. Thank you for over the years. You've helped me personally many times.
Very welcome.
Thank you. Garage door, we got to replace it. It faces east, and it's a 25-gauge door. I guess my questions are going to be pretty basic. Should I get the door with the slide-in sleeve-type thin insulation, or should we get the larger insulation with the steel backing, and it faces east?
Well, east
and then I guess you can tell me a little bit about the opener, the electric motors and the wheels and this and that.
Okay. All right. So you want the whole package. Okay. So here's the thing. I personally like the full insulated door, and it's not just because of the direction that it's facing. Now, you're right. East is not as harsh as a south-facing garage door. But, you know, garages are subject to just a lot of heat punishment, especially in Southern California. So I like the idea of a fully insulated garage door because I like to keep the, I don't run AC into the garage, but I like to keep garages as well insulated, well sealed up as possible for two reasons. One, simply the comfort of going out and using your garage and not having it be a sweltering hot box. But two, since garages are attached to homes more often than not, that sweltering hot box is making the rest of the house work harder for its AC cooling needs as well. So I like a fully insulated garage door. As far as the openers are concerned, my friend, there are lots of good openers. There are debates between chain-driven openers and direct screw track openers. But I'll tell you the one that I have been installing for the last, I don't know, how many years now? 5+ years that I am most impressed with, and that is Master Lift? I think it's Master Lift. Direct drive mounted on the front wall of the garage, right next to the door on the mount on the garage. It is a soft close garage door opener. It's got Wi-Fi connectivity with the car and with the house. Most of all, though, you don't have the big motor and the track hanging down from the garage ceiling, which frees up the garage ceiling beyond where the door comes up, of course, frees up all that space if you want to put storage or hanging or, whatever it is. You just don't have the garage door opener to deal with over there. So I'm pretty sure it's Master Lift. I could be having a little brain burp here, but side mount garage door.
The one they're talking is called all three of the people I interviewed, Loadmaster or Liftmaster.
Liftmaster, that's it. I'm sorry, I was Liftmaster. There it is, Liftmaster side mount garage door. That is the one, and it takes up an amazingly small amount of space, and it does an incredible job. And so our clients have been thrilled with them ever since we discovered them a few years back. We've been putting them in almost pretty much exclusively. Lewis, thank you for your call, my friend, and good luck with the garage door. I want to talk to Sylvia. Hey, Sylvia, welcome home.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's the first time I've called you, and thank you for doing these radio shows. I really appreciate listening to you.
You are so welcome. How can I help?
Well, my question was, I got that stimulus money, and I still haven't spent it. My house was built in 65 with minimum insulation standards, so I think.
Yep.
And we did have insulation put in, like in the 70s when they had the program. And I have been very neglectful. I'm 76 now, and I procrastinate a lot on calling up, these programs for energy, whatever services that they provide. I just found one from a few years ago that actually provided a free refrigerator. Now my refrigerator is 24 years old, on the blink. But anyway, back to the question. So what is more practical for me, because I'm very low income, and the house is a furnace in the summertime. I live in Lakewood, and it gets really hot here.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, a whole house fan, a radiant foil barrier situation like they use in the South, an attic fan or insulation, which of those is the most efficient to cool up a two-story house?
Okay, so the choice that I'm going to make for you in order is the whole house fan and attic insulation. Okay?
Awesome.
The whole house fan is going to give you the means of taking cool air at night throwing open all the windows, drawing cool air in at night, and cooling down the entire house, both floors. And then in the mornings, you're going to, you know, shut those windows down, lock that cold air in. It's like a battery that you've charged up, and you're going to coast through at least the first part of the day with cooler temperatures so that you don't have to run the AC like crazy inside the house. Now, that can only go so far when the insulation isn't good, because it's like a thermos or a cooler. The better the insulation, the longer it keeps the temperature that you've set inside the house. So that's why if there was room in your budget for both, I would say the whole house fan in conjunction with thicker attic insulation.
That's very interesting. Now, what do you think about radiant foil barriers? They don't do that here, but they do in the South, and I've heard that's very cool. What do you
radiant
think about
foil, it? Yeah, radiant foil barriers are great. They're fine. They serve their purpose, okay? Radiant foil barriers do help to keep infrared from building up inside the attic. They are not a replacement for attic insulation, though. So we use them as a supplement to attic insulation, not as a way of kind of cheating our way to a cooler attic without actually committing to the insulation. I want you to insulate first. Radiant foil barrier, by the way, has no R value to it, has no assigned insulating value, because it's just a barrier. So the best thing you can still do is get the attic insulated. It's not that expensive to do thick blown-in cellulose or fiberglass insulation up in the attic, and then utilize that whole house fan. So I would go for those first before letting anybody sell you on the radiant barrier. And if you've got room for all three, great. I have nothing against radiant barrier. It is not a replacement for insulation. The building department will tell you. The building code will tell you. Everybody who knows what they're talking about will tell you. Insulation first, radiant barrier second. You can't replace one with the other. Sylvia, thank you so much for your call, and good luck for that. And you know what? That whole house fan, it's not going to cost you very much to install. And if you use it right, and it's an active system where you need to, you know, activate it at the right times and open up windows and such. But it will make a world of difference. It really, really will. And it will keep you cooler. And that's what we want.
All right, when we come back, more of your calls. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Hang tight. There is more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Rob Newton has the news. KFI. Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Welcome home. All right, we are right smack dab in the middle. Nothing but your calls. You set the agenda today. The number to reach me at 833-2-ASK-DEAN. 833-2-ASK-DEAN. Give me a call. I would love to help you out. All right, let's dive back in. Bonnie, welcome home.
Oh, thank you, Dean. Hold on one second. I got to stop being in water. Okay.
Here. Don't let me interrupt, please.
I don't want to get electrocuted. Okay, so we are putting in, we're replacing our under the sink sink with another under the sink sink of the same brand and same dimensions. Hope that works. I know it's tricky, I think.
You mean an undermount sink? An undermount sink?
Yeah.
Undermount.
Okay.
Undermount, yeah. And I want to take this opportunity to put in a under the sink alkaline system for alkaline water. And
okay.
Everything we've looked at has its own faucet. And I don't like the aesthetics of these manufactured forced faucets.
Right.
So do you know any systems that, and I don't want to do the whole house because they say that it will break your ice machine in the fridge, this alkaline water. So I just wanted to go into the sink.
Okay. So in answer to your question, no, I don't. I'm not familiar with any particular brand of alkaline water converter that has a huge selection of their own spouts. Alkaline water, you know, that's a whole subject unto itself. I usually don't get into that conversation on the air in terms of when I'm just talking about whole house stuff, because, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't know about alkaline water, and I'm not debating it with you at all. I'm not taking a position on it, but it is a very niche little industry. And because it's a niche industry in terms of the larger plumbing industry, Bonnie, there aren't a ton of options. It's not the same kind of standardization that has taken place over the years, like with undersink filters, right? Undersink filters have been used for so long and are manufactured by so many different companies, including mainstream companies, that there has been sort of a standardization of spouts that have taken place. So if you don't like the spout that comes with your undersink filter, you can go down to the hardware store or the plumbing supply place and say, hey, I got an undersink filter. And they're like, is it a two-tube or a three-tube? And you say which it is, and they're like, okay, you can select from this, 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 and this. The alkaline systems, different animal. And as a result, you know, I'm not saying that you can't retrofit an undersink filter spout to it, but you're just going to have to explore that very specifically yourself. And there isn't a resource right off the top of my head to direct you to.
Okay. So second topic, we're going to get the house painted the stucco, and we're taking bids from contractors. The one we want to go with wanted 25% down, and according to California law, you don't have to do that. What would you recommend on that front?
Yeah, not only do you not have to do it, you shouldn't do it. You should not do
okay.
it. Okay. Now, that doesn't
okay.
mean that, let me be very clear about this, though. California state contractor's license law allows for a maximum of $1,000 deposit or 10% of the contract, whichever is greater. And that's the deposit. That's the only deposit you have to put down and anybody should ever ask you to put down. Now, to be very clear, though, there is a difference between a labor deposit or a general contract deposit and if your painter or contractor is saying, okay, that's the deposit, but this that I also need right up front, this number here is for the purchase of the materials. That is actually allowed by law. They can absolutely do that. They can request a material purchase. But, okay, to be super clear about this, that needs to be delineated separately, and you should be able to ask them, okay, show me your supplier and send me the, give me the invoice, and I'll be happy to pay it, and I'll be happy to make sure that check goes directly to your material supplier. Because some contractors who are, you know, a little shady might try and want to mix and muddy the two together so that you get a sense that it's all a material thing when in actuality they're trying to get more money from you up front. 10% for them, max, and then whatever is necessary for your material suppliers along the way. Good question, Bonnie, and good luck with that.
All right, when we come back, more of your calls. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Hang tight, there is more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, The House Whisperer on KFI.
Holy, holy, me, oh my. Pumpkin pie, chocolate candy, Jesus Christ, ain't nothing please me more than you. Our home, let's be our home. Home is wherever there is you. Our home, let's be our home. Home, home, you are me and I am you.
Hey! KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the second hour of Home. We are here every weekend, every Saturday morning from 6 to 8, Sundays from 9 to 11. I am Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, craftsman, builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. I want to remind you, we've got all sorts of good stuff for you on social media, so follow us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or all of the above, at Home with
Dean, and of course, every episode that we ever do becomes a part of the House Whisperer podcast, where you can listen anytime, day or night. It's your own personal home improvement reference library right there on the iHeartRadio app or iTunes or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. All right, we are letting you control the topics today because it's all calls. The number to reach me, 833-2-ASK-DEAN, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. And let's get back to the phones. All right, let's talk to Marco. Marco, welcome home. Hello, Marco.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. How can I help you, bud?
All right. Hey, well, thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask you, we're building a home up in Lake Arrowhead, and it's going to be kind of like a modern mountain-style home, and I'm looking to put Ipe rain screen siding on the front of the house, and because I wanted to kind of have a modern mountain look. But
yep.
Then around the backside and the sides, I'd like to put something else that doesn't require maintenance, but that may have a similar look so that it kind of keeps the aesthetic of the Ipe. Do you know if there's any material out there that do that?
Well, okay, so if we're going to do a similar look, and we're just talking about a lower price point, because the Ipe is definitely on the high price point side, you can step down a few bucks and go with Mangaris.
Mangaris. Yeah. And is that no maintenance, or is it?
It is low maintenance. Mangaris is low maintenance. And by that, I simply mean, you know, you're going to have to re-oil it, in Arrowhead, with snow and such, you know, you're going to re-oil it maybe, every 3 to 4 years, just give it another, oil coating. So that's pretty dang low maintenance considering that kind of harsh environment. And Mangaris looks exactly like Ipe. In fact, you might be so impressed with it that you end up deciding, oh, let's just run Mangaris on all sides of the house and forego the Ipe altogether. We just did in Mar Vista an entire backyard deck and pool surround in Mangaris. Beautiful wood. It works really well. It's not technically as durable as Ipe, but it is still in the ironwood family, and it holds up really, really well. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Mangaris is technically... Mangaris is a brand name, by the way. Yellow Bilal, that's what it is. It's technically Yellow Bilal, an incredibly durable ironwood.
Yellow Bilal. Okay, how do you spell the Bilal? Is that B?
B-A-L-O... B-A-L-A-U, I think. B-A-L-A-U.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And we were talking to Advantage Lumber. Are you familiar with them?
They I've heard of them,
nationally.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm wondering if they might have it. Where would you get that material?
You can order Mangaris from just about any lumber yard in Southern California. They almost all of them carry it. So just shop it around, get your best price.
Great, man. Garrett, well, thank you so much, man. That really helps a lot. I truly appreciate it.
You're so welcome, Marco. Good luck on that house. You are, by the way, building exactly my favorite kind of mountain home. A lot of people would think, oh, Dean, you're going to go up to the mountains and live in a log cabin. It's like, you know, I love log cabins, by the way. I love and appreciate them for what they are. But if there is any place in the world to build a giant glass cube with modern edges to it so that you can maximize your experience of the outside and get it in, then mountains and beautiful vistas like that, that is the place to put a modern structure. So good on you for
doing
that.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, take care. All right, bye-bye. Hey, Kathy, welcome home.
Yes. Hey, thank you. Love your show. And thank you for working the extra hour to help us out.
You are very welcome. How can I help?
Well, this is my question. We live in the beautiful desert of Joshua Tree and have owned this home for 22 years. It was built in the 50s, little add-on probably in the 70s. And it's really, really time to do something to the inside. There's very low ceilings, no insulation. It's all windows almost, which is great for about 6 months out of the year. And then for 6 months out of the year, we need to put, you know, we literally block all the windows because of the heat. So we're kind of ready for a possibly a remodel or renovation. And I want to get your thoughts on how do we find somebody and what would the cost, what are we looking at cost-wise?
Okay, so when it comes to the designers themselves, you know, depending on the degree of gut and redo of your place, it's going to be hard for me to give you an exact estimate of what will be involved. I can tell you a general range these days for a full redesign or remodel of a house. You could be looking at anywhere between. I mean, technically, I've been told I'm supposed to say up to 15% of cost of construction, but honestly, I'm not seeing that out there much these days. We're seeing things that vary depending on the size of the project and how much detail goes involved to somewhere, let's say, between 5 and 8% cost of construction for your design fees. And what I would recommend for you guys is out there in the desert, I would recommend, and as opposed to appealing to the larger LA basin, there are a lot of really good design firms that work out of Palm Springs that specialize in desert homes and desert refits. And so I would I'd dip my toe in that pool first, because you're going to get individuals who spend most of their time doing exactly the kind of things that you're talking about. They understand the issues. They understand the environment that you're in. They understand how to recommend, what to recommend, what their retrofits are to get your house looking beautiful, a whole fresh look, and also what's critical functioning in that particular environment so that you guys are just loving life every day.
Right. Livable and love it. Sounds great. Sounds great.
All right, Kathy. Well,
thank you so much for your question.
Uh-huh. Good luck on your project. Bye-bye. Send me pictures when you're done.
Okay, more of your calls when we come back. KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp. That's me, the House Whisperer. The number to reach me at, 833-2-ASK-DEAN, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. The phone lines are open. Jump into the queue. Let's see if I can answer your question today. So let's get back to it. I want to talk to Connie. Hey, Connie, welcome home.
Oh, hello. Yes, I didn't know how to tell the difference when it was my turn.
It is your turn now.
I wanted to find out what the practical use, and if it is practical to use solar-powered attic fans.
Okay, solar-powered attic fans. I like them. I think they're great. Attic fans, to be specific now, a lot of people get the two confused. The difference between an attic fan and a whole house fan. A whole house fan.
Attic fan,
is drawing air out of the house. That requires a lot of juice, and not a lot. I mean, the whole reason you put in a whole house fan is to save energy costs from your air conditioner. But it does require a good amount of speed and electricity, and so solar is not going to get that done. But attic fans that are simply aerating the attic, drawing fresh air in through the lower attic vents and pushing the hot air out of the upper vents, an attic fan like that, solar is a really, really good option for it, because you don't have to mess with wiring. Installation is a little bit easier. And it just so happens that the size of the fan itself, as it sticks out on the roof, is generally speaking just about the right size of a solar panel to run that fan when it needs to run. So I've had no complaints about them, and I don't have any reason to tell you not to do it. And it will generally ease the installation of an attic fan for you.
Okay, and is there any issue because I don't know, I haven't looked into them too much, but there's no sun at night. Do they charge up and continue to clear the hotter air at night, or is this only a daytime when it's all heating up that it'll cool it down so that the night will be better to start with?
Yeah, I mean, daytime is your primary concern for it anyway, but
oh, okay.
there are different fans that run differently. Some fans have both a solar aspect, and you can wire them for power as well. They are a dual source for power. So you can, if you really want to run it at night, you can still run it in the evening. I'm not sure. I don't believe that there are any attic fans out there, solar attic fans that actually have backup batteries built into them. I don't think they get into the battery realm because that gets it expensive. So most of them are very straightforward. When the sun is shining, the fan can run because it's got juice. And that's during the day when you need it the most anyway.
The most. Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much. That was it.
You are so welcome. All right. Let's talk to Deanna. Hey, Deanna, welcome home.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Oh, my gosh. So am I.
Oh, okay. Several years ago, I had redone my house, and I always had the problem of letting the hot water run until, you know, until the cold went away and it got hot. So I installed one of these booster things. I did one in my upstairs bathroom, and I did one in the kitchen sink. And I've now been having the problem that I have to let the cold water run because it gets hot, it gets scalding, even in another bathroom upstairs. And I'm thinking, well, actually, now I have a grandson. I'm afraid he'll scald himself by turning on the water.
Okay, so here's the question. How have you got the pumps set as far as timing is concerned? Do you have them on a motion-activated switch, or are they on a timer, or how are they running?
I don't know. My contractor had it installed in my bathroom, and there's a little motion detector thing that when I walk in the bathroom, that probably says, you know, when you turn the hot water on, let it boost. Under the sink in the kitchen, I had a plumber come, and there's nothing. There's just some device that he put on there.
Okay, so because the way that these booster pumps work, as you have experienced now, is that they bleed hot water off the hot water line, and they pump it into the cold side underneath the sink. So they're taking hot water and they're pumping it into the cold side. So this is actually, I think this is the first question I've actually got on the show about this. It's actually a common occurrence, and that is, you know, when you turn on the cold water, it's going to be a little warm because hot water has just been pumped into that side of the line. But that's not the way
it. This is beyond warm. It starts warm and it goes scalding.
I understand. So what I'm trying to say is you got to get the plumber back out, okay? Or your contractor, one of the two, because ideally the only thing that's going to happen is both lines are cold. And when you walk into the room, the motion sensor senses that you've come into the bathroom and it starts the pump process, which means, you know, for a good minute or so, there's nothing but cool or lukewarm water at best being pumped into the cold side until the hot water arrives. So there should never be a situation where you walk into a bathroom, turn on the cold water, and get scalding water coming out of it. If that's the case, either the pump is on a timer and the timer is running way too often, or maybe the thermostat on the pump is not signaling when the hot water arrives and shutting down the process, okay? So you need to have your plumber or your contractor take a look at it again and get that adjusted. Sometimes you'll get a little bit of warm water out of the cold line when you've got one of these booster pumps installed, but it should never be too hot and it should never be scalding. That means adjustments have to be made. Otherwise, it's a fantastic system that saves you hassles and saves us all a lot of water. So thank you for actually putting them in place, and thank you for your question.
So much more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Rob Newton has the news. KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. Good Sunday morning to you. As always, having the maximum amount of fun permitted by California state law. Check with your local authorities to find out what the maximum amount of fun that you can have today is, and then, well, ignore it and just have as much fun as you want. You have my permission. All right, I'm going to give you the number, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. That's the number to call, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. The phone lines are open. Back to the phones. Hey, John, welcome home.
Hey, John, how we doing, Dean?
Okay, you're John, I'm Dean, just to be clear on that.
Yes, I'm sorry, I got it all confused. My bad. Hey, I got a question. I'm working on my, I have a flat roof that I'm going to redo. And I remember back ago you talked about the roof, flat roof.
Yeah.
They went, instead of doing using the roll, they went using with some kind of like a material, like a paint that you go over it and cover it instead of using the old rolls.
Yeah. So the kind of the current two things that are competing for flat roofs right now are these roll-on kind of PVC vinyl flat roof systems, which go on kind of as a liquid with layers of fabric kind of embedded in them. We've seen really good results from those. And roll-on roofing that gets melted at the seams where it overlaps, like a bituminous roll-on or what we call a torch-down roof. I don't really care one way or the other which one you choose to use. You should price it out both ways and judge the roof by the warranty that you're going to get on it. But I will tell you this. The days of just regular tar paper for flat roofs, those are long gone. So whatever it is you use, whether it's the bituminous rolls that you torch down and melt the seams together, or whether it's the newer PVC stuff, either way, what you want up there on your flat roof is one continuous membrane with no seams. And that's what both of those systems are going to give you. And that's going to give you, you know, that long life flat roof.
I've seen those at the store at the, like the Home Depot, like those 5 gallons buckets of liquid. Literally, it looks like, you know, is that the stuff you're talking about?
The stuff that you see at the store is a sealer that can go on the top of an existing flat roof. But if we're talking about a flat roof that is a complete PVC system, we're talking about something that's actually installed by a roofer, and it gotcha. Involves more than just the bucket of pour-on material. That's why you should call a roofer and say, hey, I'm interested in both of these systems and get prices both ways.
Gotcha, because like mine's already leaking, so I was thinking of tearing it down and I was going to use some different type of material instead of using the roll. And I saw at Home Depot it was those 5 gallon buckets that they seemed like it was just like paint that you just throw it and just brush it over.
But, yeah, that's a good way of restoring an existing flat roof or doing a little bit of patch and maintenance work, but I wouldn't rely on that to create a whole new membrane. Don't trust that kind of a system to a whole new roof. All right, buddy. Thank you so much for your call, John.
Thank you
good
very
luck
much.
On that. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right. Let's talk to Benjamin. Benjamin, welcome home.
Hi.
How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can I help?
Yes. Over the years, I've got a cast iron staircase railing that leads up to a roof deck, and I've gotten different opinions on what paint to use. It seems like every 2 to 4 years it starts peeling off, and I'm willing to spend a little more if there's some approach to paint this that would get a longer lasting paint.
What have you been using on it thus far?
I'm not sure. My painter comes in and he sands down, puts some black paint. I've heard one of them, I think, used epoxy paint or something like that. I didn't see any difference.
Okay. It sounds to me, Benjamin, like that you probably have a process issue that you need to resolve. In other words, if you're getting with an iron staircase outside, if you're getting flaking, you know, in 2 years' time, it shouldn't be that frequent. You know, iron staircases, things like that, are going to need to be repainted every once in a while, but it shouldn't be flaking off that quickly. So it sounds to me like we're at a point now where we need more than just a little rough sanding on this thing. We may need to bring this all the way back to bare metal and get a really good primer coat placed back on it again. The
okay.
primer coat is the key to the whole thing. Once the primer coat is on there, there are several different quality levels of products, whether it's a machine enamel finish, whether it's an epoxy-based, or whether it's just good old-fashioned Rust-Oleum.
Okay.
The primer coat, the bonding coat to the metal, is going to be the key here. So anytime I hear somebody saying, I've got a paint peeling problem, it just keeps happening no matter what they use. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. well, it's not the material itself. The material itself needs to grab onto a primer, which grabs onto the metal. And if the paint is peeling, it is not grabbing on the way that it should.
So what primer would you recommend? Is there a specific type? Would it be Rust-Oleum?
A simple Rust-Oleum primer properly applied on a clean iron surface is going to work incredibly well. And then you can just go up from there. I mean, there are primers that my structural steel companies put on steelwork, which is just bomb-proof stuff that we can paint just about anything we want at just about any time we want and never, ever worry about peeling or cracking or anything of the like. But for residential application, Rust-Oleum is an amazing product, and it's a great paint. Not a sponsor of the show. But the primers that are available to do that for iron, for cast iron situations, are incredible, but they've got to be put on the right surface, the surface that has been prepped. So there may be some grinding and some stripping in the future before you reprime and get a couple of new coats of paint on. I guarantee you, you do that, though, and you're going to be not worrying about that iron for several years to come. You're not going to have to worry about it in two more years. It's just the way that it's going to go. Benjamin, thank you for your call very much. Great question.
More of your calls when we come back. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Rob Newton has the news.
Do you slide on all your knives like this? Do you try on all your knives like this?
KFI. AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. I'm Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, craftsman, builder, custom home designer, and I'm here to help you like I am every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 and Sundays from 9 to 11 to turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. We are coming to you live from House Whisperer headquarters, and as always, having the maximum amount of fun permitted by California state law. Hey, my thanks to all of our callers today. You made for another great show. I just love talking to you guys and doing what I can to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. So thank you again. It is always an honor and a privilege to spend all of our time just jawing it up with you and solving problems. Okay, well, it's Sunday, October 25th. Yeah, almost 11 o'clock. I don't know what you've got planned for yourself this week, but I doubt that you're going to be having more fun than me, because in about 30 minutes, we're going to be taking B, that is the name of our yellow and black Jeep, for her very first visit to Yosemite. Woohoo! So I'm going to leave you with this thought today. We were supposed to have done this a month ago,
as a celebration of our daughter-in-law Christy's birthday, also her first visit to Yosemite. And some of the many things that Christy and I share in common is a great love for adventure and for nature and, let's say, a certain tenacity in chasing down an obsession. But despite all that, the Creek Fire shut Yosemite down for us last month. But did we cancel? Oh, no. Nope. We simply postponed it a bit. And even though fires are still burning, the air has cleared enough to push through and make it happen. And that is my encouragement for you today. There is very rarely ever a perfect moment to do anything. There is always some fire burning somewhere in our life, something we can use as a justification for staying put and sitting still. Well, don't. Don't let the fact that life itself is a constant uphill climb stop you from climbing the hill. Push through, live intentionally, live actively. I could sit here and list off all the extra work that it takes to get ready for even a simple adventure, but I won't, because it's an adventure, damn it. Of course it takes work. And on top of that, the rewards are always far greater. I don't know what or how or when, but something about this trip is going to affect us, stick with us, deepen and change us. Perhaps for me, it's going to be standing in the Cathedral of Giant Sequoias in Mariposa. Perhaps it's going to be seeing Yosemite Valley again as we exit the tunnel off of Highway 41. Perhaps it's going to be holding hands with Olivia on a train ride through the mountains. Or perhaps it'll be changing a flat tire just outside of Fresno. I don't know what's going to happen, but let it come, because I'm here to be a part of things happening. And there's rarely ever a perfect moment to do anything, and there's always some fire burning somewhere. Push through, live actively, live intentionally. So let me be perfectly clear, though. This is not some motivational presentation to convince you that you're the author of your own life. You're not. You're not big enough to be the author of your life. You're not powerful enough or smart enough to be the author of your life. But you are the co-author of your life. You may not be in control of what happens to you next, but you are in control of what you want to have happen next and what you want to plan to have happen next, and most importantly, how you respond to what happens next. The story of your life is a collaboration between your dreams and your will and your plans and all the forces around you over which you have absolutely no control. If your story is going to be a great one, you're going to have to keep editing and keep adjusting as you go. Most of all, though, you need to keep writing. There's rarely ever a perfect moment to do anything. There's always some fire burning somewhere. Push through, live actively, live intentionally. Now, we are not rested enough, we are not completely ready, and there are about 100 things pulling at us to stay. So, we are going to Yosemite. Why? Because there's always some fire burning somewhere. Push through, live actively, live intentionally, and get out there and build yourself a beautiful life. We'll see you next weekend.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.